You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome to the program. We made it to a Friday. It's a meat Friday at that. Gang's all here ready to go. You can be part of the program in a variety of ways. If you'd like to watch, you can do so on Peacock. Download the app. You can watch for free. Say good morning to Chat Row and also our great friends at Fox Sports Radio and the other great radio affiliates around the country, around the world, as a matter of fact. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle @DP Show. McLovin's duties. He is supposed to come up with a poll question, but he does more than that. He comes up with a couple of poll questions. Yes, McLovin.
Exciting news, too. I have our man Ethan is helping me with today's poll question.
So you're not able to handle the duties, and now Ethan, who does our stats, is now helping with...
No, it's not like that at all.
That's what it sounded like.
No. We all came to a consensus on what question we wanted to ask, and I turned to Ethan for some numerical support, statistical support.
All right, I can't wait for that. Yes,
he's reaching across the aisle, if you will.
Oh, okay.
And extending a hand.
Uh-huh. All right, great timing. Great timing to reach across the aisle. Everybody play nice. Yes, Paulie.
It's like a rapper and a country star collaborating on a song and trying to hit the charts. That's those two.
So like Billy Ray Cyrus and who was the...
Old Town.
Lil Nas X.
Yeah. I forgot that great song. Yes, McLovin.
I will guarantee all the poll results will be tallied on time.
You're counting every vote.
Yes, although sometimes when you call me and I don't expect it, I might make up the result.
You have made up the results before, haven't you?
Well, I'll go to the last time I looked, which might be 40 minutes ago, in which case the results have changed.
But that's an eternity.
Let's not even get into that.
Okay. Welcome to the program. As you can tell, already in progress here. A little feisty, a little frisky on this Friday. Packers roll over the Niners, 34-17. Devontae Adams, 10 catches, 173 in the touchdown. The NFL fines the Raiders... Again, the NBA officially starting December 22nd, this weekend. You do have the big one with Clemson and Notre Dame. Don't sleep on BYU and Boise. If BYU runs the table, they're not going to be in the Final Four. I would love to have had a Final Eight. College football can't get anything. The NCAA can't get anything together quickly, so that's not going to happen. But I wish that they were open to it this year. Michigan and Indiana, also Florida and Georgia as well. We're told there's no excuses in football, at least in the NFL. At least there aren't supposed to be. Good teams just adjust. We hear it all the time. They got injuries, and you just try to make do with what you have. The Niners, well, the normal rules don't apply. The Niners have legitimate excuses this year. Decimated by injuries. Nobody has lost more games with their players to injury than the Niners have this year. They lost four more players this week to the reserve COVID list. Quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo and George Kittle, they were out last night. Most of the receiving corps was out last night. Really, they had a shell of their normal offense, and they got blown out last night. Defense ran into, Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers has performed, I would say, Aaron Rodgers-esque. I don't know if we're waiting for Aaron Rodgers. Remember, we weren't quite sure. There were people who said they didn't know if Aaron Rodgers was a top 10 quarterback this year in August. Didn't know if Aaron Rodgers was a top 10 quarterback. He makes it look easy. I'll say it, and I'll say it until he retires. Nobody has ever made the position look easier when they're at the top of their game than Aaron Rodgers. For years, there seemed to be a jinx on the team that lost the Super Bowl. Had a lot of years where you didn't even get into the playoffs that following year. But that's the case for the Niners. They're right there against the Chiefs. That was only back in February, which seems such a long time ago. Hopefully they get healthy. The core group gets another chance to compete at that level. But right now, they have to hope they can just put a competitive team on the field. And the more I was watching the game last night, and the Packers got their star running back Aaron Jones back prior to the game. We weren't sure who was going to be their running back. And I started to think, okay, the Niners don't have anybody. No one. And they're only a 7-point underdog at home. And I kept thinking, okay, there's no home field advantage for San Francisco. Start there. Packers have everybody for the most part. Rodgers is playing at a high, high level. Devontae Adams is playing great. And you're going out to San Francisco. And I kept thinking, what does Vegas know that I don't know? Not that I would have put money down on it, but I kept going, they're only 7-point favorite. And then all of a sudden, they just start to blow him out. And I go, what was Vegas thinking? And I said to Paulie, let's get Brett Musburger on. He's the Raiders play-by-play voice. And, of course, he has a gambling site that he works for in Las Vegas. And Brent will join us next hour. I'm not sure what it was, but and I don't know where the money went, but it just felt like that was a two-touchdown underdog-type feel to it. Maybe 12, somewhere in that. It felt like that. And then you start to watch the game and you go, oh, man. Hold on for dear life because San Francisco is going to get blown out here. But Brent will join us coming up next hour. McLovin, what's the poll question we're going with today?
Okay, we're still working out the choices here. But if you could sign one wide receiver in the NFL to a four-year contract to build around, the choices so far, DeAndre Hopkins, 28, Davante Adams, 27.
Mm-hmm.
Do we put Julio Jones on there?
Davante Adams turns 28 next month.
Do we put Julio Jones on there?
He's How old 31. Is Julio Jones?
31.
Okay.
Michael Thomas.
All right.
DK Metcalf. Do we put Odell on there?
Yeah, if you want to.
Mike Evans.
Yeah. All right.
And Tyreek Hill.
All right, let me play what Davante Adams, how he responded to a question last night. Now, he was asked about this, and it wasn't one of those after the game saying, I'm the best receiver in the game. Here is the question and his answer.
Think you're at the point where you can say you're the best wide receiver in the NFL? Do you think that's fair to say?
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. I think that's not being conceited. That's just being confident. I think, you know, obviously what I've done and what I'm going to continue to do is going to prove that. To anybody who isn't on board with that, but I truly believe that just based off of the work that I put in, you know, the connection that I have between my quarterback.
Oh my God,
you know, it's not just about me. I mean, just running a route and you know, if the line isn't protecting or if the quarterback doesn't look your way or the other receivers don't do their part to pull defenders away, you know, that's none of what I do can happen. So at the end of the day, I'll tell you, yes, absolutely. I think I'm the best wide receiver in the game, but there's a lot of things that go into me being able to make that statement.
That's Davante Adams with McLovin also in there.
Sorry about that.
It doesn't match the headline. It feels like Davante Adams is, you know, he's saying, hey, I'm the best receiver. I mean, he agreed with the question. And I don't have any problem with this. If he thinks he is, great. We want it both ways. Like, oh, man, you can't be saying that to, man, I'm glad he said it because it gives me content. He feels it? Great. I have no problem with that. But I wanted to have the context of it because if you just see the headline, then you might think, oh, who does Davante Adams think he is? And Fritzy even said that in the morning meeting. And I said, we're going to play it for you in its context, and then you're going to understand he agreed with if the reporter says, who do you think the best receiver in the game is? And then if he says, I think I am, that's a little different than, do you think you're the best receiver in the game?
Yeah, when I heard...
Fair to say.
Yeah, when I heard him that he said that, my initial thought was, oh, that's, you know, being arrogant and bragging, and it's a turnoff. But the way he posed it, I see that comment in a much different light.
I love the answer. If I'm Aaron Rodgers, I love that he says that. I want him to feel like he's the best receiver. I want him to feel that every single game. When I go out there, I have to be great. And that's part of being the best receiver in the game is every game they're game planning for you. And there's not a great player in any sport who goes, I don't know. Remember when I asked Steph Curry about who's a better offensive player? That was a couple of years ago. And I asked him, I think 4 years ago, did I ask him who's the best offensive player in the game? And he said that he was. And people are like, can you believe Steph Curry said that? And I'm like, yeah. I mean, if he said, you know, I'm not even the best offensive guy on my own team. You know, I'm probably not, you know, maybe the fifth best, you know, in the West right now. Like, I want my guys to feel that way. Every single show that I do, I want to prove that I'm the best that does this. Whether I do it or not, my mindset is you want to do that. Every single show. Wish the Danettes would follow suit, but no, it's on me, which makes it Makes it even
really
tougher.
On a Friday, you got to work that in?
Sorry, Todd. Are you the best booker in the business?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know if I'd be that confident.
I answered that too quickly.
No. No.
How's that working out today?
Oh no.
Come on.
Come on.
That's an easy shot.
You know, we do that. It's bad timing for that answer from you, Todd.
Well, Mike Florio's joining us in the final.
I know.
It's quality, not quantity.
Wait, you got Florio?
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
Oh, you should have told me.
Is it quality or quantity? I'm trying to, how does this swear? How do I get judged? The more, the better?
I like the quality of quantity is what I like.
How about more quality?
Yeah.
Rare, Seton.
It's not for me to say who is a good booker or not. Not for me to say.
2 minutes ago was.
I don't like to get into that kind of stuff.
It's not your place to say
today. It's for other people to make those decide.
On a four guest day.
But then, I did drive in this morning with the attitude that I am best at doing this.
Okay.
I didn't have that attitude.
No.
It doesn't always work out.
Look, you work hard. You do.
Except for Meat Friday.
No. You're good. You work hard. You care. Yes, McClellan.
That sounds a little bit like Mike Zimmer saying Everson Griffin is a good player. Did you see that headline?
And Everson Griffin was upset that he wants to get back at Mike Zimmer, called him a good player.
Right. That's like Todd working hard is the good player, meaning.
Yeah, that's one of those stories where the Lions defensive end Everson Griffin upset Mike Zimmer, called him, quote, a good player. This is the best I felt in a long time. I got a little frustrated when I read that comment, what Zimmer said. Oh, Everson was a good player, Griffin said Thursday. Like, Coach Zimmer just wasn't a good coach. He was a great coach to me. So for him to call me a good player, that kind of hurts my feelings. On Sunday, I'm really looking forward to playing the Vikings and showing them that I'm a great player. I'm excited. I'm ready to execute. My mental health is strong. My physical health is strong. My mind is strong. And I'm ready to go out there and dominate. I'm ready to create, adapt, and go out there and win. Who's with me? Oh, that's right. We're the Lions. Maybe nobody. Everson Griffin got called a good player. That's going to motivate him. So he wasn't going to be motivated going against his former team. Is Mike Zimmer playing, by the way? I don't think he's going to play in the game, is he? But he's going to go out there and he's going to prove it to somebody. Yes, McClellan.
In coach speak, is saying someone's good, but is that a negative? Like, is Everson Griffin right? Was Zimmer taking a little shot there? Because you know how coaches are always like, the guy we're playing this week is the best player I've ever seen.
Yes, you're right. That's normally the case. Even Belichick has been known to hyperbole, you know, fall prey to hyperbole. George Kittle, he's the best tight end that I've seen in a long time. Yeah, McClellan.
Did you see this week Bruce Arians said that Alvin Kamara is better than Marshall Faulk?
Yeah.
That's a classic example of hyping up your opponent.
Yes. I don't think he's better than Marshall Faulk, but this week, Bruce Arians, it's better than going, he's not quite Marshall Faulk, but he's a good player. Then Alvin Kamara going, did you hear what Bruce Arians? He called me a good player. Yeah, Paul.
You know, you want to do the good player thing, take it into your home life. Imagine your wife just got back from the store and she had a dress and she tried it on. Hey, what do you think of my new dress? And you said, that looks good. You're over, man. You're cooked. Mm. Your weekend is shot. Mm. If you don't say that that dress looks awesome, hot, great, beautiful, you have to. It's much safer to over-compliment than to under-compliment somebody.
Well, that's your wife, though.
A coach and a player is a relationship.
But it's a former player, former coach.
Then he must not have been that helpful to his cause.
Okay, how about a former girlfriend of yours? And you saw her. And you were telling somebody you saw her. Would you say, she looked good? Or would you say, she looked great?
Who am I talking to?
Not your wife.
Okay.
Not your wife. Yes, McLovin.
When Paulie brought up his wife, I thought he was talking about another area where you don't want to hear you were good, not great. It's Friday.
Wow.
That was good.
Where are we going? What happened?
That's great.
Yes, Todd.
But you could also overstate or over-compliment. If you're like the coach that screams all the time, you tune them out. If every time your wife or girlfriend is looking for a compliment and everything is amazing or you're incredible looking or that looks perfect on you, then when is it like legitimate?
If anybody should over-compliment their wife, it's you.
Should be me.
Yes.
You should be crawling.
But then what am I saying? Then I'm basically calling my wife insecure. She needs me like to tell her how amazing
you
she looks.
You should follow her dropping rose petals everywhere she
goes. I think
goes.
You got to mix it up a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, that's when it looks nice. The other thing, wow, look, you look like you're ready to go out on the town. But if everything is, oh,
I don't
my
know
God.
If a woman ever gets tired of hearing, you look great. That looks great.
No matter what she's wearing, no matter what she's doing. No matter
I
what time
don't know
of day,
if a woman ever gets tired of that.
And that's an insecurity.
And you have, you're the
I
most.
I have plenty of insecurity.
Okay.
Then, but if someone's just always telling you how wonderful you are, like it changes your personality, then you think, you know, you're Mr.
Do
or
you
Ms.
ever
wonderful.
Hear yourself? Yes, Polly.
When you see Fritzy and his wife, it's like watching a Kevin James CBS sitcom. You could fill in the blank on the rest of it.
Every one of those CBS sitcoms.
Leah Remini is hanging out with the UPS driver.
Yeah.
It is confusing.
Yes.
It doesn't seem to fit.
Crazy hot, and she's hanging out with the UPS driver.
Got to suspend a lot of disbelief on some of those sitcoms. How did they get there?
Yeah. All fair. Right. So we got a poll question here. Are we going to go with the wide receiver?
Yeah, well, we're going to start with the wide receiver. You could sign one for 4 years. I have a front runner.
That's a lot of wide receivers, dude.
Yeah. I have a front runner. I could save it.
No, you can tell me before we go to break.
Because of, maybe it's just the hype, but I'm in on the DK Metcalf train. Young, I feel like that clip of him chasing down Buda Baker is everywhere.
That's the hot new wide receiver here. And I think because of that and because of how young he is, you know, DK Metcalf's going to get a lot of votes, and rightfully so. And he might win it just because there's newness to that. Devontae Adams is a great wide receiver. But wide receivers in Green Bay get overshadowed by Aaron Rodgers. Like, do the quarterbacks make them better than what they really are in Green Bay? Did Brett Favre make them better than what they really were? Does Aaron Rodgers make you better than what you really are? And we're always going to fall back with praise on those quarterbacks than we are probably with those wide receivers. If Sterling Sharp doesn't get injured, he's a Hall of Famer. But Donald Driver, Antonio Freeman, Randall Cobb, like they're good receivers, but Devontae Adams, it feels like, is a little more special. Yes, McLovin.
But none of them are first round receivers. And I think that label of being a second or third rounder sticks with those guys. Even Adams, because he wasn't a first rounder.
Yeah.
So we think, oh, he wasn't a first rounder. He can't be that good. Which he is.
So if I was going to take somebody for the next 5 years, all right, I'll give that thought. I'll have an answer here coming up. Yeah. And then I got to ask Brent Musburger, what was up here with Vegas with the 7-point spread? I'm just curious, because when the Niners took the field and you looked at it, it looked like you had a junior college football team. Like maybe not even a major college football team. We'll take a break. Phone calls are always welcome. We'll settle on our poll question here. I'm curious if anybody suffered a bad beat last night. Because there was a touchdown with 4 seconds to go. That's where you watch and you feel like you got that under. I got the under. I'm good. Yeah, I'm going to probably shut off the TV and wake up in a bed full of money. And all of a sudden you look and, like, I've done that before where you wake up at like 2 a.m. and then because you didn't stay up for the whole game and you go, oh my God. That's a bad beat. Yeah, Paul.
That's why I think betting the over, you're grinding the entire game. But once it's over, it can't go back under. That's the one thing. You could be sitting there in the fourth quarter thinking, I got the under. Oh, it's going to. Oh, no. Why would he score there? Once you get the over, that's it.
I would probably, if I was betting, would bet over unders more than I would the point spread.
Oh, that's. Ooh.
I know. But I did point spreads forever. And the over-under, you root for both teams.
I'm a weather guy with over-unders. I will look at in all seriousness, if you can beat Vegas a little bit if you get weather, look at weather a little bit.
You don't think Vegas looks at
they
weather?
They do, but I'm telling you, you can anticipate a little bit.
If you would have said, I don't know what the over-under was with Raiders and Browns, but when my nephew, who lives in Cleveland, mm-hmm. and he was talking about how windy it was and how bad the weather was, that's when I would have gone, what's the number here? Just curiosity, not betting.
You're right. Vegas does watch the weather, but if you're a local, you may hear about 5 days from now we have something possibly coming.
Yeah, that's what I would have. Like, Buffalo is playing Seattle in Buffalo this week, and it's supposed to be 60 and sunny. Now, if it had been different, then maybe we would look at that game and the result, the end result, differently. Yeah, McLovin.
Is there any doubt that's going to come down to a Russell Wilson drive in the fourth quarter of that game? It's so set up for...
And I was wondering, who needs the game more? Because Seattle's got games coming up with the Rams and the Cardinals, and they're playing for the number one seed. You know, Buffalo is not going to be the number one seed. But, you know, and they don't have to be great to win that division. Seattle has it. It feels like there's different potential expectations with them to be the best team in the NFC. Buffalo is just trying to win that division, but they're not. I don't think they're close to being better than Pittsburgh, or certainly not better than Kansas City. Maybe not better than the Ravens. Yeah, McLove.
What about national reputation wise? Not that they care, but I feel like the Bills need a big win to get back in everybody's good graces, because they were hot early.
Even if they do get a win, it feels like we're still, the jury's out on them. Because we saw them in national TV a couple of games, and they didn't look good at all. And if they do win this game, it's not on national TV. This isn't a standalone game, I don't think. Is this a 1 o'clock game in Buffalo? Probably so. Check on that, McLovin. All right, we'll take a break. 22 after the hour. This is the Dan Patrick Show. I always give a stat of the day, and it doesn't compare to this stat of the day. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the very first day. 2020 has changed our world, and if you're going to be hiring, you want to hire for new positions, positions that you're already familiar with, there's only one place to go, ZipRecruiter. Right now, try it for free, ZipRecruiter.com/Patrick. When you post a job on ZipRecruiter, it gets sent out to over 100 top job sites. Then ZipRecruiter's matching technology finds the most qualified ones for your job and then actively invites them to apply. So that's why you have 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter getting that quality candidate within the very first day. And ZipRecruiter is a hiring game changer. That's why you need to try it, and you can do so for free right now. You go to ZipRecruiter.com/Patrick, ZipRecruiter.com/Patrick. Don't miss your chance to hire the right person. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Patrick. ZipRecruiter is the smartest way to hire. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com, or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. Get to your phone calls coming up. I think we settled on a poll question. You could sign one wide receiver to a 4-year contract. Who would it be? DeAndre Hopkins, Devontae Adams, Julio Jones, Michael Thomas, DK Metcalf, Odell Beckham Jr. III, Mike Evans, and Tyreek Hill. How old is Tyreek Hill? Is he 25? Makes me a little nervous off the field. He's 26 years of age. All right, go around the room. You got to pick your wide receiver the next 4 years. McLovin, I'll start with you.
Easiest choice, DK Metcalf.
All right, Seton O'Connor.
Yeah, DK Metcalf is putting on quite a show.
All righty. We haven't even seen a real full season of DK Metcalf being great. Yes, Paulie.
Oh, man. I'm going to say DeAndre Hopkins, more consistency, more explosive.
DeAndre Hopkins, 29?
I have him at 28.
28. Ooh, okay. 28. Next 4 years, DeAndre Hopkins. Todd.
And just seeing him without a shirt before even watching any football, DK Metcalf.
That's not usually why you would give somebody a 4-year deal.
That put it over the top.
Hey, can I see you without your shirt on?
The top 3 reason, though, for him, for sure.
Right?
That was my one, too. It was the shirt thing.
Yeah. Before I give you the 4-year contract, can you take off your shirt?
You're not getting the backside of their career for most of these guys. You're getting the meat, the prime.
Yeah.
Like Kevin Costner.
If I look at this from all different angles, like DK Metcalf is somebody I can market, and that factors in as well. You got Russell Wilson, who's in the prime of his career. Let me run down. I'll give you the reason why I'm picking who I'm picking. Yeah, McLovin.
I'm just curious. You have to set a date. When is the cliff where wide receivers fall off?
Yeah. I'm going to guess 32 or 33.
I would have said maybe 30, 31.
Okay. DeAndre Hopkins, I don't know how great Kyler Murray can be throwing. Hopkins is 28, so I got 4 more years with him. Devontae Adams, I don't know how long Aaron Rodgers. Is Aaron Rodgers going to be there 2 more years? And then I don't know about Jordan Love. So I got to factor that in. Julio Jones, is he going to be with Matt Ryan next year? Michael Thomas, Drew Brees is going to retire. Now, Taysom Hill, Jameis Winston. Yeah, Paul.
Let's say I remove the quarterback, and these are just like it's like a fantasy draft. All these receivers are available, and you got a four-year, $80 million
contract. Yeah, but I got to factor in the quarterback because then that's going to their production is based upon that. DK Metcalf has Russell Wilson Jr. III in his prime. Odell Beckham won't be on the Browns probably next year. Even if he is Baker Mayfield there? Mike Evans, Tom's going to play one more year probably. And then Tyreek Hill, as much as I'm not a fan of Tyreek Hill, he is a fascinating player, and I've got him with Mahomes. I would do DK Metcalf just because of his age and Russell Wilson playing as well as he is. I know they're going to be together for 4 years. I don't know about Evans and Brady, Odell in his situation, Michael Thomas with Drew Brees, Julio with Matt Ryan, Devontae Adams, maybe two more years with Aaron Rodgers. And DeAndre Hopkins comes down to, is Kyler Murray a consistent in the pocket? And I don't know if he is. He's an explosive, great, exciting quarterback. But if I'm looking for just production, I'd probably go DK Metcalf, believe it or not. All righty. Phone calls are welcome. I asked Paulie to reach out to his Vegas source to find out. That betting line last night went down to 6.5, I think, at kickoff. And I kept thinking, this should be a double-digit spread. I thought maybe you would do 10.5, 11, maybe 12 at the most. If I wanted to get some people, because it had the potential for a blowout. And that's where I thought Vegas would protect itself to say, we're going to make this fun 10.5. Feels like you would have had a lot more people that would go with San Francisco at home, 10.5-point dog, even with that depleted lineup. Yeah, Paul.
My guy in Vegas, Montrell Max, said that this was a pick'em game when it first hit the board. Then Monday, when some of the COVID stuff happened, it went off the board. It came back as Green Bay -4.
Green Bay was -4 last night?
No. When it first came back on the board, Monday.
Oh, I was going to say.
And then it was Green Bay -7.5 at one point, and then because of the betting, it was Green Bay -6. He said he probably would have set the line at a double-digit line because it had a potential for a blowout with all the injuries. Double-digit lines are based off trying to get people hard the other way.
And that would have done it. Because if you would have said, hey, can I have the Niners at 10.5? If I was betting, I'd certainly take a second look at that. It had the potential for it to be a blowout. And if that's the case, if I wanted to take San Francisco, and I like them, even at 6.5, if you said 10.5, now I kind of protected myself in a blowout situation there. At least that would have been my philosophy. Yeah, McLovin.
I was reading some tweets. I think Todd said one where Peter Schrager was like, well, Fred Warner's on the field for the Niners. They could still win this. Like, the defense was supposed to be good. And then Green Bay came out immediately and torched them.
Yes, Paul.
There's two double-digit lines in the NFL this week. The Chiefs are giving 10.5 to the Panthers, and the Panthers aren't even awful. And then the other double-digit line, Pittsburgh at the Cowboys giving 14 points. That's a big one.
Is Kansas City in Carolina?
They're home. Chiefs are home.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Panthers, by the way, have been kind of falling back. They might be getting back in the quarterback discussion. They've lost 3 in a row.
McCaffrey's supposed to be back, I think.
Yeah, that'll help.
But I don't know if that matters.
Yeah. I mean, against the Chiefs.
By the way, Chris Jones, Kansas City, he's out, right?
I believe so. Reserve COVID.
COVID. It feels like, and I saw a stat here. As of last night at 7:45 Eastern, 40% of the 32 teams are dealing with at least one case of COVID. As of yesterday afternoon, there had been 13 teams that have had to place a player on the reserve COVID list or had to shut down their facility due to a COVID scare. It's not a question of if, but when it's going to happen to your team and how big of an outbreak. I don't know if the Titans have recovered from their facility being closed down and they lost back-to-back games. Cam Newton, I don't know. We haven't seen him fully recover from being out due to COVID. And those are things, too, that, you know, Vegas is going to have a betting line trying to figure out the impact of what COVID does to these players or these teams, or you can't go to the facility, and then you're going to be playing games when you come back. You know, I think it's That's kind of a fluid topic here. Yeah, McLovin.
I find the Clemson-Notre Dame line really tricky. I don't know how they came up. What did you say? It was 7 yesterday? Like, how do they know?
Well, I think they've seen enough. They like what they see with Trevor Lawrence's backup. And that team is stacked. Now, my college football source last night, he was laughing that, you know, Dabo Sweeney's probably going to make it seem like the sky is falling. They lost a couple of defensive starters. And he said, there is no school in America that wouldn't take the backups at Clemson on defense for their defense. That's how good they are. And you go into Notre Dame, you know, where Brian Kelly has to win a big game. He's done everything. This is the opportunity. Now, it's not must win, because chances are you'll face Clemson again in the ACC title game. And you can have one loss in that Final Four. But it would go a long way if Notre Dame beat Clemson. Just for the perception. And that's what you want. You want the selection committee to have the perception this is a different Notre Dame team. Yes, Don.
It's not kind of a must win that it's with the backup quarterback that Notre Dame should find a way to win that game, as good as he may be as a backup. It's still, it's not Trevor Lawrence.
It's not, but you got a 5-star recruit who's starting for you who just came off a great performance against Boston College. It was your defense that let you down. I'm only going by what I was told yesterday. It feels like a must-win situation for Notre Dame, but if they do lose, they face Clemson at the end of the regular season in the ACC title game. That win in the ACC title game, if they don't lose the rest of the year, can get you into the Final Four, from what I was told last night. Yeah, Paulie.
I'm going back to your thoughts about the 8-team playoff this year. Imagine if you did an 8-team playoff, and one caveat, if you're undefeated, you're in. Automatic. In an 8-team playoff, if you're undefeated, you're in, and then they fill in the rest. Can you imagine teams like Coastal Carolina could be in there, BYU could be in there, Cincinnati. But Clemson, Bama, Ohio State, Notre Dame, Coastal Carolina, Cincinnati, BYU, and who else can we get in? I'll throw some Liberty in there.
We're surprised when Coastal Carolina gets into March Madness.
Ah.
They're one of the more fascinating teams in college football. And I'm not joking.
Weird name, weird uniforms.
Coastal Carolina is, if you watch them, you will be entertained. And they're on TV. Yes, Todd.
We were talking about point spreads before. Maybe Musburger can speak to this better. How do you figure out with the home crowd with COVID and you can't have all the fans in there when you're playing in almost an empty stadium versus whether you had a bunch of screaming fans? How do they add or take out a couple of points for that in a point spread?
Well, I think the places that do have a legitimate home field advantage, that's factored in when you remove that crowd there, like Seattle. I think if you check, maybe have Ethan. You guys know Ethan. He does stats for us. Yes, McLovin.
I was singing along to the Ethan song.
Oh, now you're singing along. Not fighting. Fighting the greatness of Ethan.
No, how can I fight that? It's an Ethan wave. It's hitting America. I've read that the big advantage of home field is the officials call better in the home field. And without people yelling at them, they seem like they're more neutral. I thought Seton was giving us some Bundesliga stats on that at some point.
Oh.
That is true. They found in a bunch of the European soccer leagues months and months ago when they first came back after the first, 20 games or however many games it was, that home field advantage had completely disappeared, and that the more often than not, the visiting team was winning at the home, at the you know, other stadium.
I think you're finding that trend was alive in college football as well, that you saw some teams winning on the road first couple of weeks. Let me get to Tom in Utah, then we'll come back with our play of the day. Hey, Tom, what do you have for me today?
How are you, Dan?
Great, Tom.
Excellent. Long time, first time.
What can I do for you?
So I've got a stat of the day for you.
Do you want music?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Stat of the day! Stat of the day!
So tonight, the Boise State Broncos and BYU game will be the first time that Boise State has been a home underdog since 2001.
There's your stat of the day. I was worried about Tom. He let it breathe. Thought he was going to let it breathe too much. Thank you, Tom. That's a stat of the day from Tom in Utah. Yeah, I'm excited about BYU in Boise. It's a 9:30 start, Paulie.
That's perfect. Mm. Kids go to bed. Wife has a couple glasses of wine. Whoa. Next thing you know, everyone's asleep.
Ooh. All right.
There you go. Get focused.
All right. So BYU, Boise tonight, Michigan, Indiana, Florida, Georgia, Clemson, and Notre Dame tomorrow. Play of the day up next here on The Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to The Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Oh, my God.
The play of the day.
Runner left side, got it!
Check this out.
Snap, Rodgers rolls right, looking end zone, still looking, throws right side. He's got his man. Touchdown. Marquez Valdes-Scantling in the right corner of the end zone. They beat Jason Verrett. Fourth touchdown pass of the game for Rodgers. Second touchdown reception for MVS.
Packers Radio Network, Rodgers' 63rd 300-yard passing game of his career, ties him with Dan Marino, sixth most all-time. And puts him one ahead of both Brett Favre and Ben Roethlisberger. Packers improved to 6-2 atop the NFC North. Play of the day brought to you by the Breeders' Cup. Coming up today and tomorrow, 14 great races, Breeders' Cup World Championships. Learn more about this at BreedersCup.com/2020. Catch all the action live on NBC Sports. Back in 2019, there were 175 more penalties called against road teams than home teams. In 2020, there have been 34 more penalties called against road teams than home teams, on a pace for a difference of about 70. So there's still an advantage for home teams, just not as large. That's a 60% drop there. Breeders' Cup is coming up today and tomorrow on NBC Sports, and we don't know much about the horses or horse racing, but we do love the names on the horses. And here's some of the names that we have in Breeders' Cup list. A horse named Authentic, By My Standards, Global Campaign, Higher Power, Improbable, Maximum Security, Tacitus. Does that sound right, McLovin?
Yes, it does.
Tacitus.
I could tell you who Tacitus is later on.
After you Google him?
I Googled him.
Oh, you did? Okay.
No, yeah, I was going to pretend that I knew who it was.
It's yes, not Tachitus?
Could be Tachitus.
Oh, that's going to be a late scratch.
No, it's not like Tacitus. It's not Tachitus.
See your doctor and get rid of it.
Tacitus is the famous Roman historian.
What sounds worse, that you have Tacitus or Tacitus?
Well, it's taciturn, right, is the word. It's not taciturn. So I'm assuming that's Alpha Tacitus.
Yes.
Taciturn's a word?
Yeah.
I never heard that.
Yes, Paul.
But it's tact, not tast.
Tass.
Like tact. You have tact. Like,
but that's because of the consonant. If it was a vowel, had to fall, it would be soft.
I after E, except after C. Tis the law, title ready, Tom's détente. Feel like Alex Trebek there. Tom's détente. All right. Go ahead, Todd. You pick your horse.
I'm going to go with, because of my mock headlines background, title ready. I have a thing for titles.
Okay. McLovin?
Wow. I got to say, Tacitus is a DJ Uagialele of this this draft. But I'm going to take him off the board because of his, you know, great knowledge of Roman history.
You're taking Tacitus.
Tacitus.
Okay. Seton?
I'm going Tis the Law.
Tis the Law. Paulie?
I'm going Improbable. He's probably an underdog, 40-1, with the name like Improbable. Like unlikely to happen is a bad sports name, a bad name for a horse, but I'm going Improbable.
I'm going Authentic, because that's how you would probably describe me. One word, Authentic.
Bob Baffert horse I read, too, by the way.
Oh, then that helps, too. If you were going to name a horse, is it any different than naming your boat? Yes, yeah,
because you know, By My Standards could be a boat name,
could be,
or a horse name.
Yeah, most of these could be Authentic.
Tom's détente. You're like, oh yeah, look at you, Tom. You made it. You did it. Nobody saw that coming.
Tom Brady's yacht. Tom's détente. Yes, Paul.
But if you walk out at a yacht club, all the boat names are like richer than you, 401k. Yeah, you know, like a big thumbs. They're always money names.
Fritzy, this is in your wheelhouse. if you were going to name a horse.
I jotted down a few, which includes don't be saddle. Instead of don't be sad, don't be saddle.
No, wait. Oh, you're building up for the good ones.
Yeah, we should just do Todd's names.
Okay, here we go.
Hey now.
Okay, I like that.
Hey is for horses.
Yeah.
Pony Boy.
Okay.
We'll do it for Johnny. Everybody will have signs.
That's a movie that's, what, 40 years old? Okay.
She's my gallop. She's my gallop.
No. If you have to repeat it.
No one reacted. You can glue it.
Wow. That's kind of funny.
That's not mean. Good. That is really mean.
And they go to the glue factory.
A Rob Schneider reference there.
You can glue it.
You can. You look like Elmer Fudd today.
I do.
You do.
Funky Colt Medina.
I like that one. Once again, a 40-year-old reference.
And my last one was horse d'oeuvres. Everyone's passing out little appetizers. You know? Horse d'oeuvres.
Funky Colt Medina.
Funky Colt Medina.
Allen Iverson and Tone Loc, same voice. Same voice.
What we talk about, practice? Let's do it. Let's do it. What we talk about, Wild Thing? What we talking about?
Wild Thing. Breeders' Cup, later today and tomorrow on NBC Sports. Vince in Georgia joining us. Hey, Vince, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan, how are you today?
Great.
I just want to let you know that you were such an inspiration to me. I found your show in 2010, and I had esophageal cancer then, and I'm a 10-year cancer survivor.
Awesome.
And when I found out that your show was on, you were an inspiration for me to get out of bed every morning to come down and watch your show.
Well,
and I'm such a fan. I watch you every day.
Well, everybody wave to Vince in Georgia. And Vince, thank you for the phone call and congratulations. Get some more phone calls coming up next hour. We've settled on our poll question. Brett Musburger will answer the pressing question. Why were the Packers only favored by 6.5 last night? Actually went down closer to game time. What are the numbers for Rodgers right now? I think he's off to another one of those historical starts with touchdowns to interception. Like, it's kind of crazy what he's done so far this year. It's weird how Russell Wilson has sort of taken over the headlines here with being the MVP, and you have great numbers again with Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City, Brady in the last 5 weeks, and of course, then you have Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, Pauline.
Aaron Rodgers is on pace for 48 touchdown passes and 4 interceptions. His best season of his career was 45 touchdowns and 6, and that was nuts, and he won league MVP.
Yeah.
That's considered the best season of all time, touchdown interception.
It's crazy. All right, coming up next hour, the great Brent Musburger will join us. More of your phone calls. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Chat Rose, the one who said you look like Elmer Fudd, Tom.
It's very accurate. I can't argue that.
And the rest of the country said that as well. 1 hour in the books, 2 more to go. It's a Traeger Meat Friday here on the Dan Patrick Show.